Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome on in to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I am Roy G. Edwards, and I am riding solo today. We will be joined by Bruce Hall, who is down in Augusta, as he is for 8 days every year for the Masters Tournament. We'll have him on throughout the show to talk some golf. So if you love Bruce, fear not, because we have your Bruce fix. In fact, we have him on here in the first segment, as he is saving me. And Bruce, it's like we can't get in the same room together. As long as you still have your phone and your car hasn't been towed, I think you're having a much better start to your trip than I did in New York. As New York loved me so much, they didn't want me to leave. That's kind of like what I want to say. I'm a New Yorker now. I live in Brooklyn legally for the next 20 or so days. So, Bruce, as long as your car's not towed and you don't have to re-register and live in Augusta, well, although you probably want to live in Augusta.
I sold my lot here about 10 years ago. I was going to build a house here, and I decided to sell my lot, make a little bit of money a few years back when it just didn't look like anything was going to get, you know, much more valuable.
Right.
And, of course, now I wish I had the lot, right, because I'd probably be sitting in a house that I rent out by the year. But, Roy, do me a favor, man, because I'm still absolutely kind of pumped after watching the end of that game last night.
Yeah.
Both of the teams that I wanted to win lost, but tell everybody what they missed if they didn't see it.
Yeah, well, both of the teams that I wanted to win won. So I'm loving it. I came on the show last week when I was in New York and told everybody how much I fell in love with Shabazz Napier and the UConn Huskies and their team identity, and they showed it on the national stage against Florida, who was relatively unproven really all season. And if you're counting at home, ladies and gentlemen, that is 0-2 this season. The Florida Gators are against the UConn Huskies. The last team to beat Florida was the UConn Huskies, and Shabazz Napier, their two-guard system. So really no surprise to me or anybody else in the basketball world, really. But UConn, they ended up winning by 10 points, won 63-53, beating Florida with guard play. Florida needed to play inside out, didn't do so, couldn't take advantage of their bigs. UConn ran away with that one. And the big game, Bruce, the one that has you fired up, is that second game, a 74-73 win with Kentucky. They're not really a Cinderella story. They were the pre-ranked number one team in the country and just kind of poo-pooed the bed all season in that SEC conference and never really got their wheels back under them until the postseason. But they find themselves playing in the national championship with an Aaron Harrison buzzer beater like he's done all tournament. So, I mean, that has everybody pumped. That's the talk. That has Lexington going crazy, and apparently it has Bruce Hall going crazy down in Augusta as well. Big shot. Big shot.
Hey, listen, Roy, you know, there's still a lot of talk everywhere I go about John Calipari,
yeah,
and coming to New York. I mean, that, you know, if they give him the kind of money he's looking for, why wouldn't you leave? Because every year he loses his class anyway, right?
That's right.
It's not,
yeah,
like stick around or anything, but that would be, in my opinion, one of the best moves that the ownership group of the Knicks could do, and I certainly hope that they do that. Hey, you were talking about Shabazz Napier,
yeah,
and you know me, I don't get crazy about March Madness till, well, March, and because it's really hard for me to get into football. I'm sorry, into basketball big time while we're still playing football.
Right, that's most of the world, really.
Well, you know what? It's amazing how big football's become. And I want to open up a couple of things today. During the second hour, we're going to have about a half an hour of two segments where I may or may not be on. I may open it up for people to call in. We're going to have a contest. And it doesn't, you know, all you have to do is leave your name and your telephone number or your email address, and you can call in and pick one. You can only pick one golfer to win the Masters. But whoever calls in first gets first pick, and you only can pick one guy. I mean, I wouldn't – I'm not going to make it so 30 guys can pick the same guy, and then I got to take 30 people to Sunday at the Masters next year. Sunday at the Masters next year, if you call in during the second hour when you can get through, and you'll either be able to get through, it'll be busy – I want you to leave who you think's going to win. That way we'll be getting some golfers calling in, because next Sunday, of course, you know, I go put my chair out on the course, and then I go back, get in my car, and drive and go do the show. And I've done that every year that I've been on FAS, and I'm looking forward to doing it. But that'll give some people some extra motivation to watch the tournament. So, but let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What are these guys going to do today, do you think? Just a lot of, I mean, you know, they've got today off till tomorrow night to play the championship game. What do you think they're going to do, Roy?
Well, if it's anything like how it was with the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, they don't really have today off. They'll go in. They're probably at AT&T right now. Getting ready, you know, probably doing a walkthrough, watching a little bit of tape, going over some scouting reports in the locker room at AT&T. They're probably going to get called in for press conferences and player interviews here as our show's winding down. It's usually right around noon. So they're probably in AT&T from about 9 o'clock until probably around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then they have the day off. Which even when you have the day off, if you're Shabazz Napier, you're sleeping. Because that's one of the things that he touched on at Madison Square Garden. I'll get into that a little bit more, is what the rituals and the day-to-day routines that these players go through, especially on the road. But for the most part, this morning is all about getting to know your opponent and opening up to the media, answering some questions. It's a very laid-back press conference. So they'll be talking hoops, no matter what. If it's just because there's no game, these guys are thrust into the media monster, so to speak. Any chance that they get a hold of.
You know what I really loved about last night's game? And I'm learning to – I'm kind of falling in love with this kid Napier. Yeah. Boy, what a team player. He took 6 shots the entire game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. I love Shabazz Napier. He was the American Conference Player of the Year. He won the national championship as the backup point guard behind Kemba Walker when he was a freshman. And he came back to school because his mom wanted him to get a degree. So the kid has a good head on his shoulders. He's a team player. He's been there before, and he's the American Player of the Year. And my favorite, although he's not even in the odds to win the most valuable player of the tournament, although he's certainly playing like it. Did we lose Bruce?
I'll tell you what. It's hard not to for Connecticut just because of their story and because of these the twins. Like, for example, with Kentucky, those kids, I mean, they're the best group of freshmen. I think is his brother the same year as him, or is he 1 year off of him?
No, they're all freshmen. Pretty much everybody who plays for Kentucky are freshmen. So if when in doubt,
you know
they're a freshman. But, yeah, the Harrison twins, they're both freshmen.
Cal's gone. He's going to get about $10 million, maybe $12 million a year, little 4-5, 6-year deal, and he will be a native New Yorker, I predict, next year.
Maybe he'll be my neighbor. Maybe we can go to lunch, hit up some nice pizza.
You have New York plates. I love that. There's a lot going on. We're going to talk baseball probably next segment. We're gonna give everybody our picks. The baseball season is here. It's upon us, and there's been a lot of surprises. There's been a lot of injuries, and we're gonna talk a little bit about the injuries when we come back. It's just crazy how many people are injured.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
Yeah, and one thing that really stuck out to me, and I'll get into this later on in the show. We'll get into it the second hour. We're gonna get into all of our picks. We're gonna get into all that good stuff. But one thing that really stuck out to me, Bruce, is there are no undefeated teams left in the MLB, and we've only played 4 games. That is something to me that has really stuck out. But Bruce, we'll be talking to you soon here in the second hour about our MLB, our picks, everything opening day. But for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors. Members of the National Association of Realtors are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Roy G. Edwards. We'll be right back. This is AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I tell you what, there are a million storylines this March. I know we're into April now, but I'm going to go ahead and keep referring to it as March from here on out. So you can hold the annoying tweets on that. This March, we've had a million storylines, great storylines. We've had the UConn Huskies, who have come out of nowhere. We had the Kentucky Wildcats, who poo-pooed the bed just so they could come out of nowhere. So we have a matchup of high seeds in the NCAA championship, a 7 seed and an 8 seed. No 1 seeds. Only one number 1 seed makes the Final Four, that being the Florida Gators, who fell last night. So that's all great. We had the Mercer upset over Duke. Great games. We had the Harvard run. We had the Stanford, or I believe it was, the Stanford Cowbell. Maybe it was the Harvard Cowbell. It was one of those smart schools rocking out way too much on a cowbell. That was cool. But probably my favorite story of all of March is one that didn't even happen in the NCAA tournament. Instead, it happened in the NIT tournament. Now, Larry Brown, who New Yorkers know, he is a legendary basketball coach in general. He won an NCAA tournament as a coach. He led the Detroit Pistons to an NBA championship. And he led the SMU Mustangs, an American conference team, to a very good record. They actually finished higher than UConn this season in the standings in the American Conference. They were 12-6 in the American Conference, 25-9 overall. Their second best finishing in school history under Larry Brown. He got them a number 1 seed in the NIT tournament, led them all the way to the NIT championship. If he had won, which he did not, if he had won the NIT championship, he would have become the first coach ever to win an NBA championship, an NCAA championship, and an NIT championship. But he did not win. And he didn't know this going in, but he was not coaching against just Minnesota. He wasn't coaching against just Minnesota, who has one of the best up-and-coming coaches in college basketball. He wasn't only doing that. He wasn't only coaching against a young up-and-coming coach in his first year who happened to lead Minnesota to their best record of all time. No, that up-and-coming coach is a guy named Richard Pitino. Richard Pitino, not Rick Pitino, who happens to be his father, but this is Richard Pitino, the younger son of Louisville head coach and future Hall of Famer, Rick Pitino. Now, Minnesota had a great season. Okay, they were a Big Ten team, probably could have been a tournament team. Will most likely be a tournament team next year if the trend continues. Baylor won the NIT last year. Wichita State won it 2 years ago. So you see where I'm going with this. If you win the NIT tournament, I believe the trend is that you make the Sweet 16 the next year. I believe that's that's the trend that has gone on in the last couple years. So Minnesota, if you're a betting man, Minnesota makes the tournament next year and they go to the Sweet 16. And it's because of a man named Richard Pitino. But that wasn't the headline. And that's not the story that I love. The story that I love is not this young up-and-coming coach living up to his father's name. No, no, no. The story that I love is how they won the NIT championship. And it has to do with his dad, Rick Pitino, who apparently is the Minnesota's biggest fan. So much of being the biggest fan that he volunteers his time as a part-time head coach of Minnesota when his son's coaching. Rick Pitino sat courtside during the NIT championship. And when I say courtside, I mean he might as well have been on the bench because he sat behind it yelling and pointing hand signals and calling plays for Minnesota throughout the game. There's pictures of this guy, and if you want to go to sportsmancave.com, I got the article up there. There are pictures of this guy waving players where to go, standing up on the bench, yelling at his son, the head coach of Minnesota, yelling at his players, and yelling at his assistant coaches. So much that in the final seconds of the game, Richard Pitino wanted his players not to foul as Minnesota was up 2. He did not want them to foul SMU, but Rick apparently thought that that was a bad idea and told the players to foul, which they did. One of the players for Minnesota said, "I saw little Coach P," which is Pitino. This is one of Pitino's players talking about him. "I saw little Coach P back there look back a couple times to ask for a little bit of advice," said D'Andre Mathieu. "I mean, you have a legend. Why not use him?" Talking about his father, Rick Pitino, who might as well have been on the bench. Later on, when asked, said, why did you foul at the end of the game? He said, "Well, my dad told me to," is basically what he said. He said it in a little bit nicer ways. He said, "I listened to my elders, and it turned out to be the good advice." Not only, so if this part isn't big enough, him calling the plays in the final seconds, guess who was in the locker room following the championship game? None other than Mr. Rick Pitino, sitting there probably 5 feet away from his son for the post-game talk to the players. Why are you in the locker room? Give your son some breathing room. Let him enjoy this moment. There are pictures of young Pitino, who just coached his Minnesota team in his first year as their head coach, holding the NIT championship with his dad and his arm draped around him like he just won it, laughing away. Give your son this. This is your son's moment. This is not your moment. You had your moment last year when you won the NCAA tournament and you tweeted to the world your tattoo of Louisville. That was your moment. Okay, that was your moment. This is your son's moment. Get off the sideline. Don't sit courtside. Go sit somewhere in the rafters. Go sit where no one can see you. Why are you sitting behind the bench? But honestly, like, I think it's hilarious. And this is my favorite story of all of March. Rick Pitino coaching against Larry Brown. Larry Brown thought that he was up against one Pitino, when in actuality, he was up against two Pitinos with the dad. I think that's hilarious. And we've all had this. We've all had the dad who, or the mom, some of you, it's the mom. And maybe it's not your blood parents. Maybe you have some, mentor or something, that somebody who takes it a little too far. I know there are tons of mama's boys out there. Shabazz Napier, you're a mama's boy, okay? At least so said the courtside commentary during last night's games. You're a mama's boy, says the media. So, because he went back because his mom told him to. But we all have this person, okay? We all have this person who, like, my mom still buys me groceries, okay? 28 years old, I'm married, I have a 3-year-old, and my mom still buys me groceries and calls me, and I drive an hour and a half south to pick up these groceries that my mom still calls me when she's in the grocery aisle asking me if I want fruit roll-ups or if I want Lucky Charm cereal, okay? This still happens. My wife hates it, okay? Because I'm still attached to my mother's womb, and that's okay.
As someone who's been married for probably 13 years around there, together with someone for 13 years, mm-hmm. Cross the cardinal sin area. You never, ever, ever let your mother know that your wife
does not like
something.
No, my mom's not listening.
Oh, she'll find out.
No, she boycotts this show.
I know her email.
No.
I'm going to send it to her.
I'm sure my mom's listening. But look, my wife loves my mom. My mom loves my wife. There's no beef there.
That's because they don't know what they dislike.
You know, there's always the stepmother beef that does exist in some families. I understand that. Not in my family. We get along. In the Edwards family, we get along. It's not that my wife doesn't love groceries. She loves groceries. It's the fact that I don't go grocery shopping. Okay? Mm-hmm. My grocery shopping is talking to my mother on the phone and picking out those fruit roll-ups or Lucky Charms.
Haley never lets me get some fruit roll-ups.
And I do. I make the drive an hour. I do.
You have 14
I make
boxes of fruit roll-ups stuffed under your bed right now, don't you?
I love fruit roll-ups. I make the drive south about an hour and a half, and I pick up the groceries from my mom, and I load the car up, and I drive home, and that's my thing, okay? Everybody has that thing where their mom or dad, or, like I said, maybe it's not a blood relative, maybe it's a mentor that just kind of goes the extra step. But when it comes to my parents, you don't see my dad calling in here every week on the show, because this is Bruce and I's show. This is not my dad's show. Okay, you don't see my dad asking for press credentials when I go up to Madison Square Garden and cover the tournament, sitting behind me or sitting with me as a quote unquote photographer. You don't see my dad doing that. When I coached baseball, I coached high school varsity baseball for a year. You didn't see my dad at the games sitting in the dugout or next to the dugout yelling to my players what they should have done. You didn't see that. So why does Rick Pitino think it's okay for him to sit courtside behind his son in the biggest game his son has ever coached in his first year as a D1 head coach, and sit behind him and yell at his players? I don't understand that. But Rick Pitino thinks he's smiling away. He's got this smirk on him in the post-game locker room videos. He's got his arm around his son holding the NIT trophy like he just, you know, like he just won it himself.
And did he facepalm him?
He
like,
might
out
as
of
well.
Here.
He may as well have
won with me.
And he, I mean, if I'm Rick Pitino, I feel bad. I would feel bad for doing this to my son. And Richard Pitino, you just won the NIT tournament, buddy, but I feel sorry for you. Because there are people out there who look at this and say, he's just dad's little boy still. And they asked him. They asked Richard about the situation where his own player talked about how he kept asking his dad for advice, which, based upon the video that I see, it's really Rick Pitino forcing the advice on his son, but we'll give his son the benefit of the doubt where he is asking.
Make that guy foul, or else I'm going to give the card to your sister.
Yeah, exactly. No more groceries. But Richard Pitino was asked about it later, and he laughed about the interaction between him and his dad. He said, "I get paid enough to coach this game by myself." Well, clearly you don't, because you changed your philosophy on what your father was yelling at you. Now, we all do these things where, you know, we kind of give in to our parents where they keep nagging us and they keep telling us to do something. Or maybe it's your wife or your husband who are saying, do this,
You're
do
not
this,
talking to me, are
do
you?
This. I don't judge.
I only have one.
So, but we all do this, okay? We all do these things just to make our, whoever it is that is nagging about this situation, whoever it is, we do it to make them happy. Okay, sure. Yeah, absolutely, sure. I will take my shoes off when I get in the door. Absolutely. I don't care enough to hear you jabber and jabber and jabber about it all day. This is what I assume went on with the final seconds of the game, where it was Richard Pitino saying, damn it, Dad, get off my back. Go foul. Fine, just go foul, and if anything goes wrong, I'll point at my dad, and Thanksgiving will be a lot better this year. That's what happened.
We could have won.
But Dad over there was telling my players to foul. So this was my favorite story of March. Although it happened in April, I know. But this is still my favorite story, and I think it's funny that it again lands on Pitino, whereas last year one of my favorite stories of the tournament was the tattoo that Rick Pitino got on his back. It's the Louisville L with the year 2013 National Championships. I think he got the record on there too. Very cool. You don't see coaches getting tattoos like that and really, you know, letting their inner child interject. But apparently the child interjection is, you know, still going on. But this sign, it's actually with his son. He's actually interjecting in his son's life.
He should have gotten the record on his knuckles.
Yeah,
like love and hate.
A little more. A little more.
24-0.
Yeah, that'd be a little cooler, right? You know, I think he'd have a little bit of
on his bottom lip. He just folded over and you can see the record on his
right.
Lip.
Yeah, the lip. Yeah, that's what the hipsters do. If it was Shaka Smart in Richmond, he would have got it tattooed because the Richmond hipster theme is there.
Like
or
that,
the finger,
so
right,
like that, yeah.
For the mustache thing. Which Shaka Smart, if you're following around before we hit the break, Shaka Smart, rumors are, and this is being reported, so I guess it's not really rumors at this point, but the rumors were that he was supposed to go to Marquette. He didn't. He stayed at VCU. And he ended up taking a pay cut so they could put that money back into the team. So good for you, Shaka Smart. We'll be right back. We got more basketball talk. I got Mook Washington coming on to talk about this tournament. This is his News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, okay? You can have your Christmas, you can keep it, and and your Thanksgivings and all your food and your 4th of July even. You can have those holidays, and I'll take March. And before we bring in Mook Washington, who's a senior writer for SMC Media and SportsManCave.com, before we bring him on, because he is on the line, I just want to give a quick shout-out to the women's tournament and how they have two undefeated teams left in the Final Four in Notre Dame and UConn. Very cool. How cool would it be if UConn women and the UConn men both win the national championship? Because we've seen that before. Now I will bring in Mook Washington. And Mook, first question for you here is, what do you think of this tournament? Because it's gotten so much love on one end, and then the other end is people saying, eh, well, it's really not that good. We have too many one-and-dones. The tournament's not as good as it used to. So what's your take on this tournament? Is it, you know, is it the hype monster that it's been created to be with the four channels playing games? Is it the national holiday that I have built it up to be? Or is it just, you know, not what it was?
Well, for me, and good morning, Roy, I think it's, for me, it's the same as you. To me, it's a great holiday. It's a great time of year. I think what's hurting college basketball now that didn't necessarily hurt it back in the day is we've minimized the regular season. College basketball has widely become a one-month sport, and I don't think people are taking time to get to know the players the way that they used to. Now, this tournament, to me, has been refreshing because we haven't had the individual player like Danny and the Miracles back in 88 or anything like that. We have had teams that have shown that they have can come together in March and dominate games and make runs more than one player. And that's been refreshing to me. Even though UVA is not here, you look at UVA, you look at Michigan State, you look at some of these teams that made deep runs this year, they made it with defense. They made it with teams playing within themselves, stars taking back seats, guys not trying to be volume scorers, just guys doing what they need to do for the team to win. So for that, for me, it's been refreshing. Now, I don't know if Johnny Fan is noticing that and if Johnny Fan needs to have that one headline guy to be the storyline, but for me, I think this year's tournament has been awesome and better than recent years past.
Yeah, I love it. I love the tournament. I love the four channels. I love pretending to pay attention at work so I can watch all of the games and taking an extra long lunch break so I can go to whatever bar is down the street and grab games. I love that. I love the multiple upsets, my phone blowing up. It's amazing. It's better than Christmas for me. But you talked about that one staple player. Okay, the one that the crowd really rallies behind, the Johnny Fan, as you called him, rallies behind. And to me this year, that was Doug McDermott. That was McBuckets. Okay, and he gets knocked out in the round of 32, and we're all saying, oh my gosh, the player of the year. He wins the Wooden Award. He's the U.S. Basketball Writers Association Player of the Year. He's the AP Player of the Year. He sweeps all of these awards, nearly a unanimous decision, except Russ Smith squeaks in one vote in the Wooden Award. But Doug McDermott, a guy who scores over 3,000 points, could he be the last 3,000-point scorer? Is Doug McDermott's legacy going to be the last great college basketball player because of these one-and-dones?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a long time before we see another 3,000-point score. Whether the NBA changes the draft rules to 20 or not, because I think that's going to have a monumental shift. Because I do think eventually we're going to see some kids go straight from high school to the D League, but that's something for a different conversation. But I do think that Doug McDermott is going to be that last great college player, as you put it, like a Christian Laettner. Laettner didn't have a bad NBA career, as people make it out to be, but he was an awesome, and I mean awesome, college player. And we saw that with McDermott. I think that what hurts McDermott is I still don't think he's fully appreciated because too many people want to judge how good you are in college by what you do in the NBA, which is unfair.
Yeah.
Doug McDermott is one of the best college players I've seen in years. Mm-hmm. The way that he scored on that team, and you know it. You knew it was coming, but he varied his game. He was a very smart player. If you would watch him off the ball, even when he didn't have the ball in his hands, the way he set up screens, the way he changed directions, the way he did not try to catch every pass, he constantly stayed two and three passes away, that which makes you more dangerous and harder to cover. I mean, this guy, and obviously as a coach, you expect this, this guy is one of the most intelligent basketball players that we've seen in college in a long, long time.
Yeah, Doug McDermott will be missed by the college basketball world. It's a shame that people didn't really know about him until his senior year. I mean, junior year, he tore it up his entire college career. And I think it goes back to that point of the Johnny basketball not really paying attention until it's his final ride out, where the guy is the fifth all-time leading scorer in college basketball, which brings me to another young gun who's on his way out. Believe it or not, Shabazz Napier is a senior on this UConn team. He played behind Kemba Walker on the tournament run when he was a freshman. How similar are these two runs between Shabazz Napier and Kemba Walker, who he sat behind in that first tournament run?
They have some similarities. I don't think that Napier has to be the scorer that Walker had to be. And, of course, before the NCAA tournament, Walker had that incredible run in the Big East tournament. But what I do like about Napier is everything starts for him on the defensive end. And we saw it yesterday. In an era where people feel like that they need to win games by scoring, in an era where we see way too many value shooters in college basketball, Napier yesterday showed his value because he let that game come to him. Mm-hmm. Florida did a great job those first 7-8 minutes, getting Napier out of his couple spots on the offensive end. And you notice how patient Napier was. He didn't feel like, well, I need to get off. You know, he was very patient. He set his guys up, guys like Daniels, guys like Boatwright, and then he let the game come to him, and then his opportunities came. Kemba Walker had to score. Starting back in that Big East tournament run, he had to score, and he did score, and he was incredible. And I think both these players have been incredible, but I just think they've been incredible in different ways. If you look at Walker's run, Walker's run is even better than Carmelo Anthony's run in his freshman year when Syracuse won the national championship. We don't see those numbers out of Napier, but when you take the numbers away and you talk about what their value was to the run, I think they're equivalent.
I agree. Shabazz Napier is he's not a guy that college basketball. There's no next Shabazz Napier to me. I mean, the guy's a born leader. He has a great head on his shoulders, and he understands the game. And it's part of this two-guard, two-quarterback system, as Niles Gafai called it. It's a two-quarterback system that UConn's runs in this guard-oriented college basketball. Now, we've officially made the shift. NBA did it before college basketball did, where the traditional center became less and less and less. And the Florida Gators were built around forwards playing inside out. And for the second time this year, it was a guard-oriented UConn team who was able to knock them off. How are these guards going to match up against Kentucky?
It's going to be tough. It's all going to start on the defensive end. I'm telling you, Roy, if they do what they did to Florida's guards yesterday, which was to make them look very pedestrian, Florida, I believe, only had 3 assists. And it starts with being able to put pressure on the ball and being able to trust that the guys who are off the ball are in great position. And we saw it all day yesterday with Florida. Florida could not even make the first pass. They couldn't make the first pass because the wings were just aggressively inside the passing lanes, knowing that the bigs are in the correct spots. And when you do that and you put that sort of pressure on them, it makes it tough to get into your offense. By the end of the game, Florida was starting this offense literally by the hash marks because they couldn't get that first pass. And that's something that UConn is going to have to do to Kentucky's guards. And they can't. Kentucky's guards are young, and Kentucky is much hype. And let's not forget, you know, people are trying to make Kentucky into this incredible run. They were preseason number one.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not make them do the engine that could. But what UConn can do is they can try to win this game on the defensive end. It's where Wisconsin couldn't win the game yet. And by the way, I was telling a friend earlier today, 95% of the time, Wisconsin would have won yesterday. Let's not act like Kentucky played this great game and shut Wisconsin down. Wisconsin had its chances, and Kentucky made the plays at the end. But what UConn can do is, on the defensive end, if they can bother Kentucky's guards, that nullifies what Kentucky can do in the lane. Kentucky bludgeoned Wisconsin in the lane, partly because Kentucky's guards were able to do what they like to do. Using dribble drive, they were able to get in the lane. They were able to create opportunities. Even when they missed shots, Kentucky's bigs pounded the boards. I mean, pounded the boards. UConn can shut that down if they don't let Kentucky's guards get in the lane. And you notice yesterday, they did not let Florida's guards get in the lane. Now, they might have given up some shots. They try to make the forwards make long shots. Kentucky's forwards pretty much aren't going to shoot those shots because how Kentucky plays with a dribble drive. But let's notice this yesterday. The Harrisons did struggle. Yeah. Now, I know the young man, I believe with Aaron, made the game-winning shot, and we're going to forget the mistakes they made, especially Andrew, made a ton, settling for jump shots. Kentucky only took 5 3-pointers yesterday. UConn will try to force them to take 3-pointers tomorrow night, and will take that dribble drive away. If they take the dribble drive away, they're going to end up beating Kentucky.
Real quick, who's your winner? One word. I got it. We got a break, but who's your winner?
I'm sorry. A very, very long winner. I'm going to go with UConn. I think that when we think back to the national championship and the tournament as a whole this year, you're going to say that it was the year that we saw defense come back into college basketball and where defense ended up being the driving train to being able to cut down the nets, not being able to shoot the three-pointer and not just run up and down the court like an AAU game trying to get as many fast break points as possible.
I agree. We're on the same page, Bear. Thank you very much, Moog, for joining us. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. This is News Talk 1230. WFAS, we'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So Mook and I are on the same page. We both love UConn.
And I'm also on SMCRadio.com.
And we're also on SMCRadio.com. So we're literally all on the same page. He is a senior writer for SMC Media. Does a great job. You should check his stuff out. Also check out his show, Making the Cut with Mook, which is Thursday nights. It's good stuff. The guy knows his hoops. He is a hoop head. That is not my words. That is his words, although I love the term hoop head. I love that. So Mook does a great job. He was in Riley for us this year. Great stuff. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for having us on your phone.
Thank you for having us on your phone and letting us broadcast it over. No, I'm sorry. I'm reading and talking at the same time. I'm not a very good multitasker.
I'm reading the John Grisham novel while you're doing
I'm pulling up this next audio, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. And it's a baseball story. But I will finish up with NCAA here shortly, but I want to get into this baseball season baseball story before we have Bruce on the top of the hour to really hammer in baseball. And this is a New York Mets story, so it's a New York story. Daniel Murphy, he missed the first two games of the season, including opening day, because his wife went into labor and had a kid. Okay, so he took maternity leave from the New York Mets. This is a audio from WFAN in New York. It is Mike Francesca, and he is talking about not Francesca Fresca. I don't know. Whatever his last name. I don't care what his last name because the guy's an idiot. So play that audio about what he had to say about this maternity leave.
I don't know where it started, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess it started with, I'm going to guess here, it started with natural childbirth.
Okay, stop right there.
Is where it started. Because it started.
Just pause it real quick. How stupid are you to not understand where it started with guys wanting to be involved in their wife's pregnancy? How old school are you that you don't understand
when fathers
wanted to be involved with the birth?
I'm more questioning, has it started?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, how old school do you have to be to not? He says, I don't understand where this all started about wanting to take maternity leave to be there as a father. That's what I don't understand. All right, keep playing. But that to start off, I mean, what are you talking about?
Present. You know, they were in a waiting room when they had birth. Then they went to this natural childbirth stuff. So the guys were part of it. So they were in the room and they were there and everything. So now they needed to be there because they were part of it. Then everybody wanted to be there, which I completely understand. And I have no problem with being there. I don't know why you need 3 days off. I'm going to be honest. I mean, you see the birth and you get back.
I mean, nothing wrong with this.
What are you doing the first couple of days?
If you have an excuse.
Maybe you take care of the other kids. Well, yeah. You got to have someone do that if you're a Major League Baseball player. I'm sorry, you do. Because that's the only thing you're doing. You're not helping. Your wife doesn't need your help the first couple of days. You know that.
Okay, turn it down right there.
That dude, right there. That is not a married man.
What are you talking about? Your wife doesn't need you in the first couple of days. Because she just pushed a baby out of her and most likely can't walk. Okay? I don't know if you know what goes on during childbirth, but stuff tears. Okay? And females, moms, they can't walk for a week most of the times, and they are in some serious pain, okay? So what do you mean you don't know what's going on in the first 3 days? How stupid are you that you don't understand taking maternity leave to help your wife and be there as a father and a husband, okay? How stupid are you? And to say this on that, this is radio, okay? This guy broadcasted his opinion out.
Nobody
on a very credible,
radio
I mean, this is a credible news station that he's talking this on. Guy is obviously not married, and if he is, it's his third or fourth marriage because this guy does not have it figured out. Okay,
someone's sleeping on the WFAN couch right
yes,
now.
Yes, he is on the couch, man, and he is not getting off for a little bit.
We don't need you around here right now.
Stupid. Okay, and it doesn't stop there. Okay, another radio show. This is a former NFL quarterback. Okay, it is Boomer Esiason on his show talking about the leave and his opinion on what he would have done.
This is my University of Maryland guy,
oh
man.
Oh, my God. It amazes me.
Boomer. Don't be that bad. I'm going to play this audio.
This is Boomer Esiason on his radio show, Boomer and Carton.
I need to be at opening day. I'm sorry. This is what makes our money. This is how we're going to live our life. This is going to give my child every opportunity.
Hold on. Back it up to the beginning
because
you missed the most important part.
I'll be able to afford any college to be at opening day. I'm sorry.
No, keep going. Back up a little bit. A couple seconds.
I would have. Go ahead. I would have said C-section before the season starts. I need to be at opening day. I'm sorry.
Yeah, good.
This is what makes our money. This is how we're going to live our life. This is going to give my child every opportunity to be a success in life. I'll be able to afford any college I want to send my kid to because I'm a baseball player.
Okay.
There you go. Here it is. Wilmer Flores.
There you go. There it is. Okay. Stop. Emergency C-section? Are you stupid?
All right, so in Boomer Esiason's defense, when he went to University of Maryland, it was more of an agricultural school, so he just may be going by the methods that they taught him about cowbirth.
Apparently, this is a popular opinion, to just not care what your wife thinks or what she goes through during this fad, as Mike called it, of natural childbirth. Okay, this fad, you know, and then Boomer thinks it's a fad, too, because just cut her open. Just have surgery and just get the baby out there because... Oh, I have to make these first two games because there isn't 160 more of them. From a football perspective, maybe he has a point. Okay? Maybe he has a point that if you're missing your first two football games of a 16-game season and you're the quarterback, okay. Okay, Boomer, maybe you have a point. Maybe, but that's 2 weeks. We're talking about 3 days here. We're talking, even if it's a week, you're talking about 3 games the guy missed. Okay? The guy missed 3 games. In a season of 162, these games don't mean jack. Okay, let's be honest here.
Say that at the end of the season when they miss the pennant by
they're not going to be in it. But let's be serious here. Okay, let's be serious. 3 games compared to your son's birth and being a husband and a father doesn't mean anything.
If it's a son, yeah, you don't miss that.
Well, I don't
it's
know.
A daughter.
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't. It was a son. His name's Noah. Apparently, according to this article, Esiason did acknowledge it was Murphy's legal right to take paternity leave afforded to him by the league to miss his first son. This is his first son, by the way.
Okay, that's
his first son's birth.
If it's a girl, you know, just go to the game.
I mean, this is ridiculous that there are opinions out there that are scorning this guy for taking paternity leave off to go be a good father. obviously this Mike guy doesn't have kids because he thinks that there's nothing to do in the first 3 days. And you take 24 hours and you get out and it's like adopting a puppy. You lock him in the crate and you get on with your day. Okay, and a Sizen is living in, I don't know, a football-minded world where, you know, 2 games means 2 weeks. In baseball, the 3 games, that takes 3 days. Okay, they played the Washington Nationals at home over those 3 games. So, I mean, what are you looking for here? You know, in baseball, you miss 3 games. That's not that big of a deal, 162-game season. Football, if you miss 2 or 3 games, that's almost a quarter of the season. So maybe you have a point there, but we're talking about son's birth. You do not mess with C-sections, or you don't just treat it like it's a puppy and lock it in a crate. Okay, this is your first son, and this just shows that sometimes we think that as athletes, they're something else. They're not real people. How dare them miss a couple games to see their first child's birth? How dare you?
We're in the digital age where video can be taken anywhere, so there's not really an
ridiculous
excuse. You can just take video of it and relive it at 11 o'clock.
Unless your friend deletes your entire memory card of your camcorder, which happened to me. I was in I was in the delivering room. Okay, I held my wife's leg while she pushed, and I witnessed the.
I'm sure she's loving you telling.
And
this,
I witnessed the first breath. I tell a story all the time. I witnessed the first breath of my son. I witnessed the first breath he ever took. Greatest moment of my life. Awesome. There is nothing like watching your son take the first breath. And to think that because I have a baseball game or I have to go to work, I might miss that. That's what these two are saying.
See, we're totally different because I was in the room, but I was just I was there. I held the leg and all that too.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I don't want to see it when it's gooey.
Mm-hmm.
Hand it to me when it's clean and wrapped.
Right, but what happened?
Do you want to cut? Nope.
Who's the first person? You didn't cut?
No, God,
see, I cut.
No.
Who was the first person the nurse hands a baby to, though? When they're all dressed?
The mom.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, as soon as it comes out of the womb, they plop it on the wife's chest, and they do the thing, and then they bring it over and clean and dress, yeah. And then who do they hand it to? The dad.
Yeah.
And then the dad walks it over to the mom. So if you're telling me that these two think that Murphy shouldn't have been a part of that, how dare you want to see the birth of your first son? Go play baseball in a meaningless game. I mean, it's opening day, sure. We get the hype. We understand all that. But in actuality, there's 162 baseball games.
But who wants to be in the room with all that goo anyway?
A father.
If you can get out of it.
Hey, you and Mike would probably hit it off, man. Who wants to be in the room?
And I'm only saying this because I know
what is there to do.
I know my wife
week.
And kids do not listen either.
Have somebody else raise your kid. You're a baseball player.
You can afford to? Hell yeah!
Oh my god! All right. Well,
I suck at raising kids.
Enough on that. I just wanted to touch on that because
if I had a baseball salary, I'd be clapping every time they did something. But
Boomer apologized, by the way. He came out and he apologized.
Oh,
come on, man. But who cares? You said it and you meant that when you said that. Okay. Both these guys are idiots. And it just this is what's wrong with America, is that I'm dead serious. This is what's wrong with America, where we think it's okay for baseball players and all these other people to not be human. Okay, we are dehumanizing these people, and we are expecting other people to raise their kids. Oh, why raise your own kid? Get a nanny. Why would you want to raise your own child? You're here for our entertainment, slave boy. I mean, this is basically is what he's saying, is that
wow,
your property.
You took it to a different
he's
level
like
there.
You're property of the New York Mets. You should be entertaining me. Go entertain me, Jester. That's basically what he's saying. Ridiculous. But before we get, have Bruce back on real quick, I wanted to get into a quote that Kevin Ollie said. Jump back into the NCAA there before I get too fired up. But a quote about Jim Calhoun, who this is Kevin Ollie's first run as an NCAA coach. Okay, his in the tournament last year, they were sanctioned, couldn't get in the tournament. This year, it's his first run. They're undefeated. He could possibly win a national championship in his first NCAA tournament appearance. Incredible. His second year as the coach. When he's talking about the baton from Calhoun, he said, he passed the baton, and I'm just trying to run with it best I know how. Pretty amazing. In the next segment, we'll be back with Bruce Hall. This is News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. Minute Bar. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So, in case you were wondering, just to recap, it is okay for you to miss work. No matter what your job is, to witness your first son being born, or daughter for that matter.
Nuclear inspector.
And to help your wife for the 24 hours, because believe it or not, there's a couple things you need to do around the house. And now, Bruce, you've missed. You're not here. So, yeah, but we do have you yet? We do have him on the phone, right?
No, not yet.
Well, thanks, Matt.
I've been telling him to call back. Bruce,
did you take?
Call,
did you take this? You took the day off, but that's okay. So, we'll get him back on here in a second because we're gonna jump into some baseball here in just a second. But so while we get Bruce on, well, I want to correct something because I said there was no. Hey, Bruce. I said that there was no undefeated team in baseball because I thought that the Tigers lost.
No, they got
last
beat.
Night.
No, they won.
Yeah, I thought they got beat by the Orioles the other night, but they didn't. So they are the undefeated team.
Doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Yeah, but I wanted to correct that because I was going to go off on a tangent. But anyways, so Bruce, opening day has come and passed. It's still opening weekend for a lot of teams, or opening week as the Washington Nationals are concerned, and which brings on a whole bunch of changes. You know, there's, you know, along with the fad of natural childbirth, we also have other fads going around baseball, which like craft beers. Okay, there's vegan and vegetarian foods being added into the baseball season, stadiums and stuff. I mean, are you a fan? First, before we get into the real talk, are you a fan of, you know, other types of foods? I mean, I feel like baseball is, you drink a beer, an American beer, and you eat a hot dog, and you love it because you're outside. I mean, are you okay with the guy next to you eating meatloaf? Are you okay with that? Because I don't know if I'm okay with that.
All right. Listen, I got to weigh in on something quick, because I was listening to you, as I do, and, you know, I'm in the middle of doing a million things here today before everybody arrives, so appreciate our fan base working with me and listening to the show. But I got to tell you, anybody that gives any advice on somebody else's marriage or family is a fool. Yeah. They're just a fool. They need to shut up and talk about something that they're qualified to talk about. First of all, I've met Boomer Esiason. I consider him, you know, somebody I know. He knows me. I got to know him pretty good a long time ago on a trip I made down to when he was doing ABC, World League of American Football coverage. And he is your typical, more than typical Maryland graduate, Matt. Not a real bright fella. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Can you hear me, Roy?
Yeah, no, I hear you loud and clear because I live in Baltimore where I deal with those graduates.
Let me just tell you, having a baby is like, for all you men out there, just imagine having a big cantaloupe come out your rear end. That's what having a baby's like.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that hurts, then you're an idiot. And you need to be there forever. You just need to be there so she can yell at you.
Yeah, because really. It's childbirth.
And they won't yell at a doctor, and they won't yell at a nurse, although sometimes they do.
Yes, they would
much rather help the guy that made that happen.
Yeah. Look what you did to me. Not that I've ever heard that.
There's not any other reason besides that. The fact that they'll never take that moment away from you. That I remember both my kids being born like it was yesterday. And they're like 20 and 24 now. And, you know, and by the way, Mike Francesa is a household name in New York. And, but he's not always the brightest guy in the room either. So I agree with what you say, Roy. They should just shut up. I guess they didn't have anything else better to talk about because they do have to deal with the Giants and the Jets.
Yeah.
And they have to deal with the Mets and the Giants. And by the way, the Mets, our boy Ike hit a grand salami walk-off yesterday. And, you know, I mean, I'm rooting for the Mets. I really do. We're going to talk baseball now. You ready, Roy?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
We're going to go crazy here. I'm going to give everybody the plays because I spent an hour and a half on these. Unlike Merrill Hodge, you know, who spends 84 hours during the week studying NFL
just
film.
Watching tape, yeah.
I spend a good hour and a half handicapping games every day because I'm a lot quicker than Hodgie and I don't have to look at much film. That's the nice thing about baseball, Roy. The stats kind of tell you what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not only that, but defensively you get information too. And I do watch a lot of baseball. I watch a lot more baseball than probably most humans that have ever walked this planet. But I'm taking the Indians. This is a big play. Justin Masterson, one of the best pitchers in baseball, goes against Ricky Nolasco, and the Twins won yesterday. So I see the Indians winning this. He's minus 180,
yeah,
which is pretty big number. But take Cleveland in this game. I'm passing on the Yankees because it's CeCe, and they lost yesterday. But this kid Hutchinson from Toronto Blue Jays, mm-hmm. who's pitching against CeCe today, he's 1-0. I don't even think he's given up an earned run yet. And most of these rookies that nobody's seen, teams have problems with him. Unless he throws the ball, unless he has command problems, I mean, the Yankees probably aren't going to light him up. They're probably going to – they've never seen him, I bet you. Although I bet they might have seen him in spring training because they're both down in Florida. I'm going to pass on that game. I don't like that game at all. The Tigers won yesterday, barely holding on over against the Orioles. The Orioles were down 6 or 7 runs, and they came back and lost 7-6. Verlander's throwing against Tillman today. I don't see Detroit losing with Justin on the mound. He's minus 175. You could pass on this game. It'd be a good one to pass on if you're a passer. You know what? I'm going to pass on the game. Because I didn't write it down. Do you agree with me? Because I know you're a big Baltimore fan.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call myself a fan, but they're in town, so I definitely pay attention to them very closely. And I agree. Verlander is I mean, until the Tigers lose a game, I'm not betting against them. Because they're on fire right now, and everything's clicking with them. And Baltimore, it doesn't really look like everything's clicking just yet. So especially in this, I'm definitely passing. I agree.
Well, J.J. Hardy's probably out today, too. I mean, they do have a couple of nagging little injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to pass on the game. The Mets are playing the Reds. Now, normally, now this is in New York, and they're coming. And I watched those guys celebrate after the home run last night mm-hmm. or yesterday. And I got to tell you, they looked like a team that was having fun. The Reds aren't having so much fun. They got a rookie coach. He's got some injury problems. He has some bullpen problems. You know, they had a couple of guys get injured early. I don't think the Reds, I mean, they're starting Simon, who's really a long relief pitcher. He's not really a starter. And they're going against Nice, Jonathan Nice, who I happen to like a lot with the Mets. I'm going to take the Mets. They're plus 110. Did you hear that?
I did, yeah.
They're actually a slight underdog. Take the Mets today at home to do what they're supposed to do, which is beat the Reds. I like them. You like them, Roy?
I do. Yeah, I do. They're on a tear right now. I agree. I think they're having fun, and I think that in a game of momentum like baseball is, it's all about in the moment and who's having fun and who's playing as a team. There's 162 games to be played, so the best teams will show up, but in the moment, you have to take the team who's having the most fun, and Bruce will get into more scores when we come back on the other side as we have to. We're up against a break, but for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. On the other side, we're going to get into some more baseball talk as it is still opening day weekend for many ballparks across America. We'll be right back here on News Talk 1230. WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, Here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
It's still opening day weekend here across America, which, if you sign the petition, is possibly on its way to becoming a national holiday, which we would have off work anyways, so you can go see your babies being born. That's pretty cool. But we are still here joined by Bruce Hall, who is in Augusta for the Masters Tournament down there covering it. But for now, before we get into the Masters this year, we're going to keep hammering this baseball season and this national holiday that is Major League Baseball opening weekend. So, Bruce, where we left off?
Yeah, we left off the Marlins, and I got to pick up the pace here because you've got a guest coming on at the 30, don't you?
Yes, I do, 11:30. Talk some college football.
I like a lot, too, so everybody's got to pay attention to it. Let me just say that a team that nobody really is giving any credit to, Miami Marlins. Mm-hmm. Everybody hates their owner. You know, he ripped off the city of Miami and the county down there when he built the stadium. But you know what? They're fun to watch, and they got a lot. They have a good minor league system. They're minus 125. Eovaldi's pitching against Kennedy. The Padres suck right now. I'm taking the Marlins there.
Okay.
I'm going to jump right to the Braves-Nats game. The Nats are just in arrears. Bryce Harper's getting the day off. Yeah. He looks like he's swinging too much bat. I would know. I'm a baseball coach. He looks like he's tying himself up. He might have lifted too hard, developed too many muscles in his shoulder area.
Eating too many
area,
Girl Scout cookies.
Which is where you don't want to be big. When you don't want to be big and tight.
Right.
You got to be flexible. He just looks like he's swinging too much bat. I'm taking the Braves to continue their onslaught of the Washington Nationals. They're actually an underdog. They're plus 115. Jordan's pitching for the Nationals. He's a good second-year kid. But Alex Woods pitching for the Braves, and this kid's good. He's a quality kid. Red Sox, Brewers, I'm going to pass. John Lester and Gallardo are against each other. The Brewers have looked great. If everybody, the listeners of the show, my buddy John Nairn, who is the hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers, we had a great interview with him a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week. I get my weeks mixed up. But I got to tell you, John was right. These guys can rake, and they're getting some pitching, and they beat the Red Sox yesterday, and they beat a couple of teams. They've won like three games. I like them, but I'm passing on the game because John Lester, you don't bet against him.
No.
Cards, Adam Wainwright at Edinson Volquez for the Pirates. If the Cards lose this game, this will be a tremendous upset in my opinion because Volquez is anything but good right now, and Wainwright is anything but not great. I'm going to take the Cards. They need the win. They're in Pittsburgh, and it's only minus 160 with a Cy Young candidate, Wainwright. The Rays are the Rangers. I made the statement a couple weeks ago that the Rangers sucked. Everybody, I caught a lot of grief from that on my website and on a couple of other things. Hey, pay attention. They do suck. They're not going anywhere. It's going to be Washington's last year as manager of the Rangers. Everything that happens to the GM there, and their team, as far as I'm concerned, they deserve. The Rays right now are 8-1 to win the American League pennant. Take it. Tampa Bay Rays, even though they play in a gym, Roy, you know I hate that place.
Yeah.
Even though they play in a gym, they don't mind it. Evidently, they're pretty damn good. Take the Rays here against the Rangers. It's Cobb, the other Cobb, going against the Rangers. I like them. Astros, Angels. Hey, Feldman from Baltimore, Roy.
Yeah.
Signed a 4-year deal, $10 million a year. He's the only guy the Astros are paying that much money to. Everybody else makes chump change there, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I like the kid. He's good. He's going against Jared Weaver, who's also a great pitcher for the Angels. But I'm going to pay. Pass on it because it's two really good pitchers.
Yeah.
But don't be surprised if the Astros win another game. Remember, they took two from the Yankees this opening week.
Yeah.
White Sox Royals. I got a pass. Chris Sale's pitching for the White Sox. I like the Royals. realize that she's go for it. But I don't see a winner here. I see a close game. Cubs-Phillies. The Cubs are going to get better slowly. The Phillies will be drawing Social Security, most of them, by the end of the season. They're old, but they're playing well. I'm going to pass on the game. I don't like it enough. You know, you get in baseball, you have to pick the teams you really like. There's no point spread, just odds. So you have to really be convinced you're going to get a W. I'm not convinced either way. Villanueva's starting for the Cubs. He's a great right-hander. I saw him pitch twice in spring training, but I'm going to leave it alone anyway. Here's a great game. The A's, Seattle's playing great. The Oakland A's need a win bad. Their ace, Gray, is one of the best young pitchers in baseball. Going against Ramirez, I'm taking the A's to even win this game today. I don't see any way Seattle wins this game. The D-backs and Rockies. You know, I spent a lot of time in spring training with the Rockies. Guess what? They're playing some ball. They're hitting the ball. My buddy Michael Kadir, I think he just hit his second home run last night. It was a three-run bomb. He won a batting title last year. They have a lot of good young players. Miley is pitching for the D-backs. I passed on the game because Anderson, who is really their ace for the Rockies, is pitching, but I'm going to pass. And here's one I got to take a pass on because I don't want to jinx my buddy. The Giants, Matt Cain, who has to have a good year this year, is facing Greinke for the Dodgers. The Dodgers look like a team in disarray, like I predicted they would. I also predicted that Don Mattingly would lose his job. I know a lot of people in New York don't want to hear that. But I predicted Don Mattingly would lose his job before the end of the year. I think the Dodgers are terrible. I think they have problems. They have injury things that they have to deal with almost on a daily basis. The Giants have more home runs than anybody in baseball right now, even though it's only after six games. I'm passing on the game. So, once again, if you didn't hear the first segment, I'm picking the Indians over the Twins, the Tigers over the Orioles. I passed on that game, finally. The Mets over the Reds, love the Mets today. The Braves over the Nats, like them doing it to them again. I love the Cards over the Pirates, and I love the A's over Seattle. And, Roy, I got to give you this. This is pretty good stuff. The most interesting NBA line I can remember seeing in recent years. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Because I'm on the edge of my seat. The Clippers, the Los Angeles Clippers, are 16-point favorites over the L.A. Lakers. When has that ever been that number that you remember?
The shift in L.A. has, I guess it's officially happened. The Clippers are the team there now in the Staples Center, and that Vegas odd shows that all the way.
You know, I'm happy for that group because that is a good organization.
It really is.
And they've got some pretty good players. Now, aren't the Clippers going to make the playoffs? They are, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They may. Pretty sure they clinched.
Now here, hey, just because I know you're a big fan, the Wizards clinched.
How about
that?
Yeah, the good old Wizards.
Hopefully they'll play more than three games.
It all depends where they fall. You know, if they pull this slump and they pull the 7 or 8 seed, I don't even know if they'll win a playoff game, let alone a series. But good for them. That's good for Washington D.C. That's a baseball. That's a basketball city, believe it or not. So very good for them.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It is a lot of fun though. To be able to go into a downtown arena that's a nice place to play, eat some good food, and see a quality NBA basketball, and see a team that actually tries to win. I'll give Washington that. They try to win. Hey, let me tell you what I'm going to do real quick, because
sure.
I'm going to be saying goodbye to all of our people right after this.
That's right,
am I
yeah.
coming back home?
No, this is your send-off.
Am I saying goodbye? Okay, you got a caller at 11:30, right?
I do, sir. I do indeed.
You got your buddy calling. And tell Chris I said hey too at the turn of the hour.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give you the names of the 24 golfers that all have a chance to win, but this is the only ones that have a chance to win. So if you have a pool, get your pen out and write these names down right now. Are you ready, Roy?
All right, I'm ready.
Keegan Bradley definitely has a chance to win. KJ Choi has a chance to win. Jason Day has a chance to win the Masters. Luke Donald has a chance to win. Jason Duffner, my Auburn War Eagle, has a chance to win. Ricky Fowler, little Ricky,
has a chance
to win. Him and all his little kids have followed. Believe it or not, Sergio Garcia still has a chance to win. Dustin Johnson and Zach Johnson both have a chance to win. Matt Kuchar has a chance to win. Here's the long shot. Nobody knows. David Lynn. I had dinner next to him after the tournament last year, and he has played remarkably well. It was his first Masters last year. David Lynn has a chance to win. Hunter Mahan has a chance to win. Graham McDowell has a chance to win. Rory McIlroy has a chance to win. Phil Mickelson has a chance to win. Ian Poulter has a chance to win. Justin Rose has a chance to win. Adam Scott, of course, he won it last year, has a chance to win. Brent Snedeker has a chance to win. Jordan Spieth, the great kid U.S. from the United States, he has a chance to win. Henrik Stenson has a chance to win. Steve Stricker still has a chance to win because he's long enough and he putts well enough. Bubba Watson, of course, has a chance to win, even though he's not playing that well. And Lee Westwood and Gary Woodland both have a chance to win. That's 25 names. Mm-hmm. Do not use anybody else but those 25 guys or you're going to lose.
One of the guys you didn't name and is a crowd favorite, but he's not only in the Bruce Hall names of who can win it, but he's not even on the field as he's not playing in the tournament, that being Tiger Woods. How big of a deal for the Masters and really golf is it that Tiger's not playing in the Masters this year?
Well, this is going to sound really strange, but he has such an impact that we'll notice that crowd, which is, you know, younger, you know, just everybody has their own roar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're going to be here, don't get me wrong, because he pulled out late. And you have to make plans for the Masters well in advance. But they'll pick somebody else up. They generally do. Believe it or not, you know, and it has nothing to do with racism, but it has to do with just – a lot of people don't like front runners. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that come to this event almost every year that root against Tiger. And, you know, I happen to love the guy because he generated a little deeper love for the game of golf because they showed him so much and I learned so much on how to play golf just watching him play. Now, he's definitely had his ups and downs, and none of us are perfect, but, you know, I still root for Tiger, and when he didn't come, it bothered me. You know, I mean, I knew it was going to bother me. It won't bother anybody. Look, it's going to be a great tournament. That leaderboard is going to be unbelievable. I look for Jordan Spieth, and to probably be on that leaderboard. I look for guys like the guy that I told you about, David Lynn from Great Britain. I look for him. You know, Matt Kuchar's almost 40. He might be 40 now. And he's been on the leaderboard almost every year here. He needs to win just like Davis Love needed to win. Davis Love isn't even here, which is really strange to me, but he never won it here, so he doesn't have that exemption. Do you know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
Gary Woodland hits the ball a mile, and he can putt. He could win it. I mean, and Gary Woodland's been on the leaderboard here. You know, and Phil, you can never count Phil out.
Yeah.
You know?
It's pretty amazing that...
Because he'll figure out a way.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that Tiger has to have a Phil Mickelson career to pass Jack. It's pretty amazing that the career that Phil Mickelson had, and how he's still doing it, it's so great. But that's the career that Tiger has to have going forward to pass Jack to be the all-time leader. So, hey, Bruce, great stuff, man. And I missed you here. All right, I had to buy my own Red Bull today, which was weird. It just didn't feel right. So when you come back, buddy, we'll swing some clubs.
You got it, buddy. We'll see you.
That was Bruce Hall. He is in Georgia. He's down in the Peach State, much like I was in New York last week. But we will be right back. Talk some NCAA football on the other side. This is News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back, and we are joined now by Jeff Vickers, my man of Blue Gold Sports, BlueGoldSports.com, one of the satellite media outlets of SMC Media. They cover the Mountaineers, West Virginia University, and a lot of the Big 12 going-ons in the college football world and landscape. And believe it or not, but spring also means the beginning of college football. Okay, we have opening day, we have baseball, we have March Madness, but believe it or not, the tickings of the fall and all of the sweet smells of football are back in the air as spring practices are underway. And my man Jeff Vickers of Blue Gold Sports is in Morgantown and Charleston and wherever else the Mountaineers are practicing this spring, and he's seeing it firsthand. So Jeff, welcome on in, and thanks for being a part of the show today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So first off, the Mountaineers, okay, Dana Holgorsen. He was thought out to be this football mastermind. He was supposed to be the Mad Hatter of Morgantown. He was supposed to be this offensive genius, and he has sputtered in his first 3 years as the Mountaineers head coach. What is the outlook for these Mountaineers, and what's it like in spring practices?
Well, I think that this year is going to be a stepping stone. They've had the opportunity to recruit, to get the depth, and the talent needed to compete in the Big 12. I was at the practice yesterday in Charleston. They took practice on the road this year, visiting Wheeling and Charleston yesterday. It was a good spirit of practice. About 6,000 people in the stands. We had about 45 minutes of drills. Saw some high hitting, good contact. The crowd was into it, a lot of oohs and ahs. Then they went into about an hour of scrimmaging. Of course, Clint Crickett is recovering from shoulder surgery, so it's Paul Millard, junior college transfer, Skylar Howard, and Logan Moore taking reps at quarterback. Things went well. First couple of drives, they had got some field goals. Kind of sputtered a little bit in the red zone, but then later in the scrimmage, you had some good running plays, and the offense came through. Defense looks like it's good. Had some, of course, replacing people like Will Clark is going to be difficult, but I think a man you have to watch this year on the defensive line is that Kyle Rose. It was a good event. I think Holgorsen has focused this offseason with some of the coaches have brought in, and taking the practice on the road of not only showing the importance of West Virginia University and what it is to the state, to the players, but also showing what goes on with the program to the fans.
So what do you think of that? What is the general vibe of the fans there in Morgantown surrounding this Dana Holgorsen team? Because this time last year, people were very excited about the new season coming on. They were very excited about the Mountaineer offense, and a lot of expectations didn't get live up to. Some people expected them to be very down, but it was the worst team that they had since 2003 with Rich Rodriguez. So what's the general vibe surrounding these Mountaineers?
Well, it's more along the lines of getting out. I think people have came down to reality with the expectations, and I don't think anybody's expecting us to run the table and win a national championship. But, along the people that I've talked to, on the time to time about football, this looks to be like a winning season, 7-5, 8-4. The good thing about it last year is after the start of the season, things started slipping away. Had a good game versus Oklahoma, and then playing Baylor, we should have traveled our basketball team to play Baylor. and then Oklahoma State, we were in that game, won that game, and then it's hard. I can't pinpoint on what happened. But
with the everybody coming back to reality, the expectations are here again with the guys that Culverson has on his staff. The recruiting has been exceptional, and even better looking for next year. So I think people are seeing the fact that, you know, you had to build a program to compete in the Big 12 before you can compete in the Big 12.
Yeah, speaking of the Big 12 and the expectations and the hype surrounding not only the conference but some of the teams in it, you mentioned Oklahoma. And Oklahoma beat Alabama last year in a bowl game. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not only did Alabama not win a national championship, but they didn't win a bowl game. They lost to the Oklahoma Sooners, who's going to be very hyped heading into this football season. Possibly a pre-ranked number 5 team overall. What do you think about Oklahoma, and could we consider them to be a national championship contender or one of these teams who is playing in the new +4 system?
I think they can be. They have, of course, with Bob Stoops, you're always going to have good offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They've got Charles Topper, an all-conference player at defensive end. The only problem I see with them is their top three rushers are gone. But then again, Bob Stoops can recruit, and he can get guys in there to carry the ball. But the offensive line they have, the average person could probably get 3 or 4 yards on the ground. They're going to have a quarterback battle come in the spring between Blake Bell and Trevor Knight. Of course, Trevor Knight had almost 350 yards and 4 touchdown passes against Bama. So I think you know, at least Oklahoma is going to be favored to win the Big 12. Of course, have to compete with Baylor, which Baylor has their own holes and things to fill. But, you know, if I was going to have to pick someone from the Big 12 to represent in the new +4 system, I would probably put my money on Oklahoma.
How good can this Big 12 conference be? You know, so many people in the last decade really has talked about the SEC, and that's where college football starts, and rightfully so, as the national champions have mostly come from that conference. Florida State wins the national championship last year. It's kind of the rise of the ACC, some people are starting to say, the hyped conference that everyone loves to talk about. So how good can this Big 12 conference be, and where do they rank against the ACC and the SEC?
Well, I think that and with the exception of the top 2 or 3, we're better overall than the ACC. Of course, the SEC is, you know, probably you break up the East and West, and you have the 1A conferences in the nation. But I think come the middle of September, we'll know where the Big 12 stands. Kansas plays Duke. K-State plays Auburn. You got Oklahoma, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, and Florida State plays on the same day that West Virginia plays Alabama. So we're going to have the first 2 weeks of the season is going to be a good gauge of how good the Big 12 conference is.
About that game with Bama, there is the "We Want Bama" chant that pretty much happened down in Morgantown following the last game of their season. West Virginia did not play in a bowl game, so they've been counting down Bama for quite some time. And for the first time in a while, really, Alabama ends their season on a down note, and they're heading into this offseason where they're not the top team. No one's really talking about them. It's more Jameis Winston going on. So what chances do you give West Virginia against this Bama team? And is it crazy to think that they could take on Bama and beat them?
Well, on any given Saturday, anything can happen, yes. You know, in all the years, Alabama's been in dominance in the last few years. I think this would be the best shot you have with so many players leaving and the turnover in the system. With that being said, though, a lot of the second stringers at Alabama could be starters elsewhere. So that's not really very much of a comforting factor. But with watching the practice at West Virginia yesterday, the playmakers are there, the talent is there. It's just the fact of playing the full game and putting it all together. And I think that's coming. And that's, of course, the downfall of playing, you know, a game that would traditionally been reserved for West Virginia fans in January on August 30th. It's yet to see if that motivation is going to be a stumbling block or, in fact, motivation for the West Virginia players.
He is Jeff Vickers of BlueGoldSports.com. He has been covering the Mountaineers at spring practice this year. He's giving us his 2 cents on the Big 12 Conference. Jeff, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you having it on, and go Mountaineers, I guess, this year. But for the first time in generations. Thank you, Jeff. And you might want to know this if you're looking into a house, because the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. So don't let that home go away, Jeff. And good luck in the Big 12 Conference of the Mountaineers this year. Hopefully they can take down Bama. We'll be right back. This is News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Guys, New York, there is one of the best players in all of his sport that calls New York home. He's not a basketball player. He's not even a football player. He's not a baseball player or a hockey player. He's not a soccer player,
but
that sport does not exist here in America. He's a lacrosse player. Correct me, or stop me, I should say, if you've heard this guy. His name is Miles Thompson. And if you have not heard of this guy, and you're a New Yorker, and you follow collegiate athletics, if you've not heard of this guy or watched him this season, you're missing out. Because this is one of the best players that we have seen in a very long time at the lacrosse sport. Okay, this guy averages over 4 goals a game. He scored 9 goals in one game last year, setting an NCAA record. This year, he scored 8 goals, 6 goals, and he's on pace to shatter a 50-goal mark. This guy is the real deal. His name is Miles Thompson. His older brother played for Syracuse, also a New York team. He plays for Albany because he wanted to make a name for himself. So him and his brother, well, he wanted to make a name for him, his own name for himself. He didn't want to follow in his brother's footsteps by going to Syracuse. So him and his brother, Lyle, are tearing it up for Albany. The Great Danes are ranked. They will play in the tournament this year. And it has a lot to do with this guy, Miles Thompson. And if you're a fan of lacrosse, and even if you're not, if you're a fan of sport and you want to see something incredible, you need to watch Albany's Miles Thompson, as the guy has been a goal-scoring machine all season. Like I said, he averaged over 4 goals per game. He averages 4.13 goals per game. He's helped Albany beat Syracuse last year. They lost to him in overtime this year, but he had the game-winning goal a year ago in double OT. The guy is 5'11". He weighs only 185 pounds. He is small, okay? This is a small guy. He gives hope to small athletes
That's
everywhere.
The whole basis of this argument.
This
isn't
is
it?
My guy, okay? I am 5'11". I am 180 pounds. I could be Miles Thompson, except I wasn't as good with a lacrosse stick. I was not scoring 9 goals a game. I had 4 goals once. It was in a summer league game. I never scored a hat trick in a regulation game. I had 2 goals multiple times. Never had 9. This guy is scoring 9 goals. Mm-hmm. Okay? This kid is unreal. 2013, a year ago, he was an All-American. He played only in 12 games. He is currently riding an extended goal streak, okay? He went all of last year, they played and he scored a goal. He came into the season riding a 14-game goal streak dating back to May 2nd, 2012, okay? May 2nd, 2012 was the last time this guy didn't score a goal in a game, okay? This guy is a freak. Okay, he entered the 2014 season. He's played in all 43 games since he was a freshman. He came into the season with 107 career goals. Like I said, I believe he has 33 goals on the season. This was earlier in the week. He had 2 goals against Hopkins on Thursday. So add to that 35 goals on the season. He has 2 or 3 games left. The guy, if he keeps it up, is going to shatter a 50-goal mark, which is unheard of. So people, please, in the New York area, you have this guy on local television. People if you're syndicating us nationally, this guy plays on ESPNU pretty much every time he takes the field. He's a senior. This is his last year. This is his hurrah. If you want to get into college lacrosse, which you should, because college lacrosse is so much different than all of the other college sports we have. Wrestling is probably another one of these sports. If you want to get into a true college sport, and Bruce will back me up on this, wrestling is another one of these sports to really get into, much like lacrosse, because it's the best that there is. There is no professional wrestling. Okay, there's the Olympics, which comes every 4 years, so if you want to wait around, sure, which they tried to give it the boot out of the Olympics. Okay, so college wrestling is serious, much like college lacrosse. There is the MLL, there's Major League Lacrosse, but it's just not the same. It's not the same game. They have a two-point circle line, and the crease is all jacked up, and it's just not. It's a gimmick.
And it's half guys that came out of college at the top of their game, and then half guys that also work at Best Buy.
It is. No, I know multiple MLL players, and it's not what they do for a living. Some of them aren't even like you said, they came out of lacrosse 20 years ago, like Gary Gate.
Yeah.
Gary Gate, he, I don't know if he's still playing, but a couple of years ago, he was the player coach of, I want to say it was the...
Baltimore Blast.
Yeah, I think, no, well, it's not the Blast. It's the...
Oh, that's soccer.
Yeah,
a real
sport. I want to say it's like the Bayhawks or something like that. But anyways, MLL, it's a gimmick, okay? It's
fun to watch on a Saturday.
It is.
Every once in a while.
It's like UFC. It's like UFC. If I don't have to pay for UFC, yeah, I'll watch it because it's kind of cool. That's how MLL for me is. Like, if it's on, I'll turn it on. But there is nothing like college lacrosse, and there is nothing like college wrestling, because it's the best that sport's going to get. And this guy, Miles Thompson, is one of the best to ever put on a lacrosse helmet and to ever play this game. He scored 9 goals last year in a game setting an NCAA record, and he scored 8 goals in a game this year. He scored 60. Like I said, if you're going to go see him play, which if you're in New York, he plays in New York, so you can probably drive just a couple miles and catch this guy's game. They're not very expensive games of lacrosse. You might not even have to pay to get in, and you'll see this guy play.
You can pay $5 to not look through a fence, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is but seriously though, if you want to get into a college sport and you're in New York and lacrosse is growing and growing and growing, now's the time to check this guy out. His name is Miles Thompson. Google him, YouTube him. The guy is unreal. Him and his brother, I'm sure if they're twins or not, but him and his brother are just killing it at Albany, and they got it going on. But now I'm going to bring in my man, Chris D'Angelo of Scorecard. What's up, buddy? Tell me what you guys got going on right after I put down the mic and you guys pick it up.
Well, right after your show, we do our first hour. We do our local high school sports stuff. So, I mean, I don't know how interested your audience is going to be in that, but we have our winter awards show. We got some high school basketball stuff going on. That's pretty much what we spent time talking about the entire season. So we're kind of just wrapping it up today. Well, last week we had a National Athletic Training Month show for 2 hours, and we actually posted that online on Twitter. Got a lot of play from that. So, I mean,
very nice.
We're just recapping the basketball season today.
Very cool, man. Well, hey, my audience loves sports. So don't think that they're not going to love what you guys got going on, because they love sports, and it sounds like you guys got a good show going on there with the award ceremony. That's going to be great. So tell me, you're my eyes and ears in New York, I legally live in New York now, by the way. I don't know if I told you the story. Maybe I'll get into it next week. New York loved me so much, they didn't want me to leave. They towed my car, forced me to become a New York resident. So legally, I live in Brooklyn now. But tell me what's going on with the Derek Jeter farewell tour and everything that's going on. Is New York going crazy over Derek Jeter right now?
Yeah, it's not. I was thinking last year after Rivera was done, I was like, you could make a legitimate argument that Rivera is a top 5 Yankee of all time based on what he's done in his career. But now that it's happening with Jeter and you're actually getting to witness it, it's like, no, Derek Jeter is in that top 5 no matter what. You got Ruth, Garrett, DiMaggio, Mantle, and then you have that fifth spot, and it's like, who is it? I mean, it's Jeter. Yeah. No matter what you say, it's Jeter. And I think this whole farewell tour, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. It's a little bit overdone. I can't believe they're doing it 2 years in a row, guys. But it just talks about how significant he's been over the past 20 years in baseball, and how he's just one of the most loved guys. And we're loving it here.
Yeah, I didn't grow up a Yankees fan, but I love Derek Jeter. I feel like he's one of those guys that he's much like a Cal Ripken. here in Baltimore, you know, when Cal Ripken was playing, it was no matter where you were, you might not have liked the Orioles, you might have hated the Orioles, but you liked Cal Ripken because you had that respect for him. Same thing with Derek Jeter. I don't care if you're a Boston Red Sox fan, you respect Derek Jeter and the things that he's done for the game. So I hate to see him go, but I like that all the teams are paying him his respect. That's very, very cool, and I'm jealous of you getting a front row seat to it. But speaking of front row seats, okay, here in D.C., the Washington Nationals are going – they're doing this thing. Tell me if this is something that the Yankee Stadium or the Mets Stadium are doing too, where they are adding craft beers and meatloaf is added to the menu. There's veggie burgers and vegan options and craft beers and just an odd – assortment of there's crab pretzels and just an odd assortment of foods out there. I tried to get Bruce's take on this, but I'm not even sure if he eats at the ballpark, and I know he doesn't drink, but as a guy who goes to baseball games and enjoys a beer in his hand and a hot dog in the other, how weird is it to you that knowing that some ballparks around America are eating meatloaf?
Yeah, meatloaf. I don't know. Meatloaf's a little creepy, to be honest. But yeah. But like Yankee Stadium, like and City Field. I'm sure other teams have done it too. Like they got like the little sausage and peppers things going on. You got Arthur Avenue, mm-hmm. kind of close to Yankee Stadium, so they integrate like a lot of Italian food at Yankee Stadium. But it's just all so expensive that I don't even. I'm like Bruce. I don't even bother to spend money on any of it. Yeah. It's so expensive. I just you got to just go eat before the game. I don't care if it's the greatest food in history or the greatest beer. I'm not paying $11.50. How much is a beer in Washington?
It depends, but they're usually around $8 or $9.
Yeah, it's like $11.50 at Yankee Stadium for a Budweiser. So it's not even like the greatest beer. You know, it's not even like a great beer. You're getting paying $11.50 for a beer you could get down the road for like $1.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a little. It's a little out of control there. By the way, one more thing on Derek Jeter.
Uh-huh.
If you remember when he got his 3,000th hit,
yeah.
It was the home run, and he went 5 for 5, had the 5 for 5 day.
Yeah,
I'm thinking either Jeter is just going to – I think he's probably going to win the MVP and hit like 400 this year, knowing how he actually does things in his career.
His walk-off status, yeah.
He's going to hit at least like 6 walk-off triples or something and win the MVP. Like, or he's just going to get hurt, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, those are the two extremes with Jeter. I mean, hey, I wouldn't put it past the guy to hit, like, 450 with, like, you know, 50 home runs and 12 triples and win the outright MVP award in his last year. Because you're exactly right. That's just what Jeter does. Who you couldn't plan. There's going to be a movie about the guy, okay? And it's going to be called 3,000. And it's going to end when he hits that home run and goes 5 for 5. And you can hit me up. I'll direct it, okay? I know the Disney magic of this movie. I already have it planned out. Amazing. But you're exactly right, man. I mean, the guy's a legend, and I'm glad that he did the 3,000 in a legendary way. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him play out his final season in a legendary way. But right now, the Yankees aren't playing very legendary. So what's going on with
– no home runs.
Yeah, what's going on with the Yanks? I mean – it's like their identity has been taken from them. So who is this team, and can they turn around?
Well, look, it's 5 games. I'm not basing anything off of 5 games. I like the result of the Tanaka-Pineda games, where Tanaka won, Pineda lost. Like, I'm not that concerned about the offense yet. It's a little concerning that they don't have a legitimate cleanup hitter. I really don't like Brian McCann hitting cleanup because I think he's a cleanup hitter in Yankee Stadium, but he's not necessarily cleanup hitter. If you've got Miguel Cabrera, a lot of teams have better cleanup hitters, but I think their offense is going to be fine. It's just a little concerning that how quickly their infield went to hell with Teixeira getting injured and the questions that they have there. But I think everyone was so concerned about their starting rotation going into the season. I think CC is going to be okay. He had 2 bad innings the first game and then really just came back. And everyone looked at the 6 earned runs. Of course, you're going to look at that, but he really had 2 bad innings and he calmed down after that. Bad Astros offense, you know, it depends on how you look at it. He's on the mound today. But, I mean, I think Nova's going to have a good year. Tanaka looked good. Pineda looked really good. If he can pitch into late August, September, then, I mean, I think they're going to be fine. I think the division's really good. But, you know, at the same time, I still think that they're one of the best teams in the American League.
I agree. I mean, 5 games, it's hard to say anything about 5 games, which if you heard me earlier in the show, I was giving a couple of the New York media people and Boomer Esiason grief for going off on Murphy for missing opening day because his first son was being born. Is that a big deal up around there in the New York local media? Are people legitimately upset at this guy for missing a couple games because his son was being born?
Well, since I'm a Yankee fan, I can't really speak for Mets fans, but based on the radio you hear and every, you know, I have a lot of friends who are Mets fans, and basically what I get out of it is that Mets fans are just super depressed about everything that goes on with their franchise. So the fact that Daniel Murphy is missing games, it's like the worst. Like, look at their opening day. Look at it this way. They lose in extra innings. They had the lead. They were one strike away from winning. Bobby Parnell blows the game and tears his MC or his UCL or whatever the ligament is, and he's going to wind up being out for a while. So everything that could have possibly went wrong on opening day went wrong. And that's leading up to the season, how people were saying, oh, well, they had all this money come off the books. They signed Granderson, but their payroll is still lower than it was last year. You look at that, and then on top of that, you have Daniel Murphy missing a game or a couple of games because his first son is being born. I mean, it's just like kind of just tack on to what the Mets are, and that's just kind of, in my opinion, probably the worst run franchise in baseball. So it's a typical Mets thing that he would be out, but I mean, it's okay. I would think it's okay. The guy's getting paid millions of dollars. It's not Daniel Murphy's fault that they have no offense whatsoever and they did next to nothing in the offseason.
Yeah, he's the scapegoat, it sounds like, up there, which is absolutely ridiculous to me. But real quick, we got about 30 seconds. Who's your winner in the Kentucky-UConn game?
Not a big college basketball guy, but I'm going UConn. There it is. I got it. They're too local for me not to.
Hey, clean sweep.
That's all I know.
Clean sweep, buddy. That's fine. Hey, you're on a good side there because I'm a UConn fan. I fell in love with the team this past weekend. I was at MSG for the Sweet 16 Elite 8. Fell in love with Shabazz Napier. And that does it for today. Hey, Chris, thanks for coming on with this final second. And if you're listening to this show, stay tuned and listen to Chris and the guys from Scorecard to break down all their awards. And it's a great show. Hey, Chris, thanks again, buddy. And good luck. Have a great show.
Thanks a lot, Roy. Thanks.
Well, that does it for me. That does it for Second Opinion. We'll see you next week. This has been News Talk 1230 WFAS. See y'all later!